being recorded.
Today is Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. And as I announced yesterday, it's a special shiur in memory of Rav Aaron Steinsaltz. I'm happy to see members of the Kollel in front of me and my esteemed colleague, Rabbi Betnash. And once again, I have to thank Yomo, who's been so helpful with the technical matters. When we talk about Rav Aaron Steinsaltz Ibn Yisrael, and he hebraized his name, but it really never caught on. With a Hebraic, when you hebraize your name, you have to have mazel. In my case, people have gone to my brother for medical help in his field of specialty, and I'll ask them, what are you doing in Israel? Oh, we're studying in Gris Kollel. Do you have my brother in any of his classes? They say, your brother? There's no Rothkopf teaching in Gris Kollel. The name Rakefet caught on, and the name Rothkopf is long since forgotten. Sharansky hebraized his name. No one in this room knows his real name today is Sharon. Everyone still knows him as Sharansky. Rav Aaron Steinsaltz, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, encouraged him, hebraize your name, Ibn Yisrael, but everyone knows him as Rabbi Steinsaltz. I want to put him into historic perspective. He's one of the greatest Jews who lived in the last, it's my age exactly when he died. We're both born Joe DiMaggio's second year in the major leagues, 1937, and we shared some interaction over the years on a very simple basis. My daughter and his daughter were classmates in Chorev. Later, his son, who runs the enterprise today, actually rented an apartment in my building for a number of years. And I got to know him slightly over the decades. I want to put him into historical context, and I also want to see what we can learn from him. I'm sitting here as a student of YU, which I entered in 1951. I must be awfully stupid because I've never left Baruch Hashem. When I learned in Lakewood, there was the famous story of the Lakewood fellow who was stopped at a traffic light, and the judge and the policeman is asking him questions, and he says, how many years have you been here? And he says, 7 years. Oh, well, you're awfully stupid. 7 years and you haven't graduated. Baruch Hashem, we never graduated. I went to an elementary yeshiva called Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yisrael Salanta. You're welcome. My seventh book, I deal with it in depth, the Washington to Washington. And little did I dream as a little kid coming off the streets of the Bronx, a third-generation American, that I would publish hundreds, if not thousands, of pages as a result of hearing the name Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta lived active the 19th century, went public about 1840, and worked until about his death in 1882. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta saw that the world was changing. He saw what happened in Germany, saw what happened in France. We've been struggling with the problem of dual culture. None of us have the perfect answer until this very moment. Even yesterday in class and a week ago in class, I spoke about it again and again. A problem that haunts us. Rabbi Yisrael saw the assimilation, saw what happened in the Western European countries, lo aleinu. And he came up with a plan. Rabbi Yisrael, a Litvish agon, but he understood the world very well. And he came up with plans, what we have to do. And one of his proposals was, at that time already, we need a translation of the Talmud into the vernacular. He saw that, and this is all of us grow up. We speak French, we speak German, we speak English, whatever our native language is. And then suddenly you're learning Gemara. I remember fifth grade, suddenly Toshma, Eilam Etziyat Chayim L'Hachriz. It's a new language, a new, and he felt without Gemara the Jews cannot go on. There's not, you can all know Tanakh by heart. It doesn't make you into a good Jew. But Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Chtav, and Shas, Paiskim, but you need the language. So Yisrael Salanta came up with this idea. And there were some attempts made over the few hundred years since he lived, 200 years approximately, a little less. No, he was born already 200 years ago. Oh, with some attempts made. I don't want to bore you with details. Roggensen in English, there was Lazarus, German, French, Sansino. But this, Adenstein-Salz, and we'll talk about his early life, what he came up with, it's epic making. And let me explain to you why. Once you know modern Hebrew, he opens all of Shas to you. Many attempts came afterwards. I don't have to tell you, Schottenstein, you grew up on that. There are now many other Hebrew versions, Hasidic versions. Nothing equals Rav Adenstein-Salz. I've gone through Shas my third time, Al Haseda, word by word, Rashi by Rashi, Taisus by Taisus, Rambam by Rambam. Nothing equals Steinsaltz. It carries you. And then the realia, the iunim, what this man started. And he started it. I have a letter in front of him that I just received this morning that he wrote in 1980. His love of the Jewish people, his love of Torah, his love of God. He opened it up. Now, you don't even start to understand what that means. I'm sitting here an ordinary mortal, but my life has not been ordinary. The Ribbono Shel Olam led me on paths that if you would have told me in 1951 when I entered YU, I would have said, come on, you're crazy. Even if you would have told me when I got off the boat in 1969, you're going to be in this and that, the army, Mossad. I said, oh, you're crazy, I'm just a little Bronx kid. But if you love Am Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, you can accomplish miracles. So some of you know, it's security clause is lifted, I can talk about it freely. In 1980, the Mossad tapped myself and my wife on the shoulders, and for the next 10 years, we lived a dual existence, normal and full-time working for Russian Jewry, communists. Two books have been written on it. One is by a guy named Rakefet in Washington. There are about five chapters. Then in Rakefet Aron Chelik Dalet, there are another two chapters. If you don't believe what Rakefet writes, which you have a right to say, what are you telling these fibs for? Adam Karavetz Latzmo. The Mossad also put out a book, B'Nativ Hadmama, published by Merkaz Shezah. And you'll see Malkav Aron Rakefet in it. Now, why am I telling you this? You don't start to understand the schut of Rabbi Steinsaltz. What happened in Russia? Let's analyze. Russia always had from Jews chabatnikim. They were tremendous mesirat nefesh. Stalin executed, exiled the seventh Rebbe's father, died in exile. You all know this. I've often told Chabad they should publish a massive encyclopedia of Chabadnikim who were executed, exiled, lives destroyed. After Khrushchev and the thaw, they made their peace. The communists understood that Chabad is not revolting and not rebelling. A few Mishagayim, they believe in God, who they don't believe. All right, but let them live, give them their babushkas and their functioning. I'm using a communist word, functioning synagogue. But something else happened in Russia. Chabad was always there. Low level, no rebellion. The Six-Day War caused tremendous reawakening. I can't go into more detail now, but I've spoken about this many times. Perhaps you can pick it up on YU Torah. Tremendous reawakening. It's unbelievable. When you see a television screen, give it a kiss. It reawakened the Jews. They saw the communist propaganda, how we're going to kill every man, woman, and child in Israel, the Six-Day War, the three-week wait. And these Jews suddenly saw their cousins, their brothers, their sisters. They woke up, and you couldn't stop the desire to come back to Israel. Had the Russians let them all out, they would have been good Jews, like Ben-Gurion, like Chaim Weizmann, like Netanyahu, like Gantz. I hope they all put on tefillin this morning, v'day l'chatima. But they didn't let many out. And these Russian Jews were brilliant. Russian Jews are not stupid. I'm a Russian Jew going back 150 years. Yomo's a Russian Jew. Russian Jews are brilliant. And they started to question why they are suffering. And they learned Hebrew. The minute you smuggle the Gemara in, one Gemara of Steinsaltz, they opened it up. Within weeks, it was photographed, copied, taught. All you had to know was Hebrew. He opened Shas to you, Iyunim, Psak Halacha. I mean, look at the Daf of Steinsaltz. You have no idea what it did for Russian Jewry. He was one of the heroes. And I can let you in secrets. I mean, this was all 30 years ago. I would have spoken about this in public. I would have been in jail. But the security clause was lifted. How did we get the Gemara's in? I didn't carry. I went in. I went in to teach. I was not allowed to take anything with me. You don't create problems with customs, KGB. But I have to tell you one thing you learn in life. I'm sitting here because of a non-Jew by the name of Sempo Sugihara, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. If not for Sempo Sugihara, I wouldn't be sitting here, I have to be honest. Me, Yeshiva, Shanghai, those who came to America, my 8th grade Rebbe, Reb Chenich Fishman, I'm going to dedicate my next book, Bezrat Hashem, to his memory. I'm writing about discussions we had in 1950. They're good guys in the world. You can't hate. Hatred is a very bad trait. Asaph Sinel Yaakov, but there are always exceptions. Believe it or not, the Russians were always in need of hard currency. So they used to run whiskey weekends. You know what that means? Look at the map. Helsinki, Finland, is a half hour away from St. Petersburg, or Leningrad, as it was called then. So for the nice Gentiles in Scandinavia, you could get on a boat on Friday afternoon, no visa required, just a passport and hard currency, Western currency. And you went and the bottles of vodka and liquor and the Bolshoi came down to the hotel and performed. I don't want to go further, women, etc. The sky's the limit. You went back Thursday. You went back Sunday afternoon, and Monday you went to work. There were goyim who took packages. The Mossad had contacts, and they were told where to drop off a volume of Steinsaltz, wrapped in paper. No one should see what it was. You dropped it off, and you walked away. A few minutes later, a Jew came, picked it up, and walked away with it. In addition, my people and the people my wife and I sent, sometimes we were given cameras. Remember in England, 1985, give me a camera. I don't know the first thing about it. But they told me who to give it to. And you say, it's a camera, you're going to take pictures. And my wife actually kicked it along the floor. When they were taking us apart for 2 hours, they never saw the camera. It was on the floor, and she kicked it as we moved forward. She kicked it along. Because I didn't know how to work it. I didn't want to get caught where you had to work it, no this, no that. That camera was sold on the black market for enough ruble that it supported the Torah learning in Moscow for 6 months. And part of the money went. The communists controlled all computers. They controlled Xerox machines. I'm ready to say mimeograph, but you all know what I'm talking about. I don't know if there was Xerox, then mimeograph. They controlled everything, but they couldn't control the darkroom. And they would photograph the pages of Steinsaltz, and when you get a picture, you make 100 copies. All you need is the money to buy the photography equipment. No one knows what you're doing. And the schut that this man had, you cannot start to imagine. Now, his life is very interesting. They pass him off, if you read the Israeli press, he came from a Chiloni background, Chiloni this, Chiloni that. It's only 50% true, if that much. His father was a giant of thought, a great-grandson of the first Slonim Rebbe, Rav Avraham Weinberg, a Talmud of Hillel Zeitlin, if the name means anything to you, the great Baal Tshuva of Warsaw, died later in, I believe, the Warsaw Ghetto. Giants who walked the face of the earth that Hitler killed. His father had the background, but his father became, like many other good Jewish boys, a communist. He left Israel, they came to Israel, left Israel in the 30s, he fought against Franco in Spain. He came back, and he made a living. The family lived in Katamon, which was then an underdeveloped neighborhood. It's not Katamon of today, that if you don't have $1 million, don't even bother looking to buy an apartment. And he sent Adam to what you would call today, it's a religious Zionist school, a plain little simple Mamlachti Dati school. And he said, his father said, Golda Meir said this, when I came in LA, I heard it with my own ears from Golda. We want him to be a big Kairos, but we don't want him to be an Amoritz. Golda said, we try to raise a generation of Apikosim, and we raised a generation of big Amayaritz. So he had this basic religious education. And here you have a story that is one of a kind, ties right into the Kollel, and a tremendous lesson for us. Here's this brilliant kid, genius, in a normal school, Mamlachti Dati. I need not tell you that it's an old debate. Are schools supposed to be for geniuses or mixed? What do you do? It's a problem. Halacha l'maisa, I always was against skipping brilliant kids. My viewpoint is very simple. You go to school not to learn. What I know, I said in Shia the other day, when I got smicha in 61, I knew one millionth of what I know today. Shiva taught me how to learn, that's all. But you go to school, social grace, how to talk to people, how to be a mensch, how to do chesed. So here you have this kid, genius, seeking, searching, knows more than any teacher, etc. And he wanders into the Chabad Shtibl in Katamon. And the description of when he wanders in, he's a kid, the same age, teenager, dungarees, which religious people didn't wear, I don't know today, but when I grew up you didn't wear dungarees, long red hair. So I'll come back to YU that I grew up in. Could you imagine wandering like that into Reb Yeruchim Gerelich's class, into Reb Noach Bornstein's? I hope you knew these names. On each one I could speak for half a year, but let it be. Reb Noach Bornstein, Reb Yeruchim Gerelich. God, you'd walk in like that. Reb Yeruchim would pick you up and fling you out the window. Reb Noach was a little bit nicer. He'd open the door and tell a student, he didn't do it himself, he'd tell a student, give you a kick and kick this bum out of class. He wanders in, and there are three Chabad Rabbanim sitting in the shtibl, and they were makar of him. One of them, and this ties right into Aaron Rakefet, was Reb Nachum Shmayahu Sassonkin. This was a giant of Torah, a rub in the Ukraine. This was Chabad. This is not the Chabad you know with messianicism. You fellas don't start to understand today what Chabad was and what Chabad can be. But this Agon Adir. And he survived miracles, World War II. And he, more than anyone, was Makarov, this kid. What did I say his name was? Let me repeat it again. Reb Nachum Shmayahu Sassonkin. Just this morning, Tuesday, September 8th, 2020, at 4:29 a.m., this email was sent to me from New York, signed Nachum Shmayahu Sajak. And let me explain. As you know, YU Torah has a big schut. Hundreds of thousands of people are listening. You give shir and grus. I know a guy, don't want to mention his name, ARR. A year ago, he was honored last summer in Lakewood and Chabad within 6-7 days of each other. And I can tell you, he didn't change hashkafas in 6-7 days. He remained the same rakefet in Lakewood and the same rakefet in Chabad. People are listening all over. I picked up a student unknown to me, a Chabadnik, many years ago when I was still young and could go to the Kotel Friday night. Today I can't do the walks I used to. But until 76, every Friday night I davened at the Kotel till I was 76 years old. And I see someone's waiting for me, a Chabadnik. Oh, Rebbe Yoshe, we came very close. We're very close until today. He is named for the Rav who was Makarev Adensteinzeltz. Why? His grandfather, my Talmud, survived the Holocaust, lost all faith. He was related by marriage to the original Rav Nachman Shmayahu, the Rav. He adopted him, told his older sisters, who were still very firm, don't jump on him, don't yell at him. He survived the siege on Leningrad. You don't know what that means, how many people died and how many people suffered. I knew Jews till the day they died. Even in Israel, it was suffering, yet for what they went through in World War II when they had no food for over a year, the German Yamach Shemam, their siege on Leningrad. And this man became an artist, a Chabadnik, all through the influence of the Rav. His grandson is named in his Rebbe's memory, so that the Nachum Shmayahu Sasonkin, who is Makarev Aden, his grandson, Talmud of a lowly, humble servant in Gris Kolel. And this is how he began. They wrote to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The letter has surfaced. Everything the Rebbe wrote is in the archives. It's amazing how much material there is. And the Rebbe advised them about this kid. Take him out, Katamon at that time. Let him go to yeshiva, Chabad yeshiva, elsewhere. He wound up, Adensteinzeltz wound up in Lod, in Tomchei Tamimim, the Chabad yeshiva. And he went on to become a Gadol Shebe Gadolim. His relationship with the Rebbe is very fascinating. Here you have Rav Adensteinzeltz, who spent time in Hebrew University, who is autodidactic. These people knew everything. You talk about the Rav, you could talk mathematics with the Rav, you could talk chemistry with the Rav, you could talk music with the Rav, you could talk art with the Rav, alachat kama v'kama with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And Adensteinzeltz, too, was one of these people who knew everything. He stood in such awe of the Rebbe that when the Rebbe died, you can go to YU Torah. I spent 2 years. I'm now in the middle of the history of Torah in the United States. That's the last 10 years or so. I've been lecturing on it in my Monday class. Just yesterday I gave a major lecture on post-World War II. And I spent 2 years on the Rebbe, 2 full years. And 3 biographies came out. One by a Hasid, a Baal Tshuva, a genius from Oxford, Miller, probably the best biography. Very, very rational. Not one word beyond what a Litvak can accept and understand. Telushkin wrote a biography. It's an anagle of Reb Nissim Telushkin. His father was the Rebbe's accountant. All right, very fascinating biography. You can enjoy it. He sees the Rebbe from a much more family-like point of view. You will not find one word in Miller or Telushkin about the Rebbe being supernatural. You read Adensteinzeltz's biography, my Rebbe, and he puts into writing that the Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh. And this is Adensteinzeltz. You have to understand this relationship. And this is a totally down-to-earth, normal individual, genius, with eccentricities like all geniuses, but the Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh, put it into writing, repeated it many times. What's interesting is the Rebbe's relationship. Oh, I apologize to the screen and all you looking at me. I have students in front of me. Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'kiyiyanu lazman hazeh. I'm looking at the Tolna Rebbe now in training. And I have students in front of me. Kanayin Harris, I'm looking at the students in front of me. I apologize to all the wonderful people online. And Dina, you bring me back. You just made me 50 years younger. I'm looking at students in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, etc. Okay, back here. The Rebbe, they didn't meet that often. Aden was here, the Rebbe's in Eastern Parkway. I need not tell you the Rebbe never visited Israel. Never from the late 50s on. He never left 770, basically, the President Street where he lived, Eastern Parkway, and that was it. They did meet on a few occasions. And one time, here, Aden is coming to meet the Rebbe, he's already published, and they're telling the Rebbe all about him. Remember, the Rebbe had Gaboyim who did research for him. And when the Rebbe met him, the Rebbe was overwhelmed. The Rebbe said, he's a lot more than they told me he is. He was overwhelmed. He had two giants, photographic memories, Bikiyim in Kol HaTorah Kula. And could you imagine a meeting between two such minds? And yet, Rebbe Aden, the Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh. The Rebbe looks at him, Asach Meir Vehem Zeh Ungesagt, a lot more than what I was told about him. What two beautiful minds. What accomplishments. But there's another side to the coin that I hope you will understand me well, because this is crucially important. Remember, yesterday people bothered me. What do I want to do to make every Jew in the world from... They might tell me, them who have been with me 10, 20, 30 years, because my shirm are ongoing, so they think I have supernatural powers, Ruach HaKodesh. I told them, I'm an old man already. When I was your age, I wanted to change the world. Today I'm happy just to see my shirm continue on a high level, Baruch Hashem. But you youngsters have to take over. I quoted it. Please listen to yesterday's Shia, how I dealt with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chavchet, Chavchet, on Chatzatzrot, that when Moshe dies, they buried the trumpets with him. Every other kli is good eternally, but every generation has to make its own trumpet. The trumpet is communication between Gedolim and Kal Yisrael, Hakilu Etreida, Balotcha. And my trumpet is not good for this generation. I grew up with Reb Yeruchim, with Reb Noach Bornstein. You got to develop the trumpet now. Take over. We've done our share. We're passing it on to you. This is the Pashiyot we're reading, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua, etc. So this message is very important. Some of you know that I'm a religious Zionist, B'leiv V'Nefesh. But I'm very open. I never forced my viewpoint upon anyone. I was very close to Reb Aaron Cutler. I can tell you endless stories. I write about it in Washington. I knew Reb Moshe Feinstein, spoke and learned with him many times. And Baruch Hashem, I have a deep understanding of Lubavitch and the Seventh Rebbe, Hasidus in general, but a Talmud of the Rav, how can I not have an understanding of Hasidus and Lubavitch in particular? So I'm never here to criticize. We have Derachim, Shonot, Avodat Hashem, Halacha demands, commands, respect, but the picture we paint is very personalistic. And that's the Hashkafah, our outlook, etc. But there's one problem that I do want to be critical. The Haredi world has a shita, my way or the highway. This to me goes against the very grain of what Torah is about. Open up any Gemara, the minute you begin, Avit, three different opinions, everything has machloket, Tov lan shenif, Tov lan shalom nifra, open up a Medresh, open up a Breshet Rabbah, Shmot Rabbah, etc. Halachic Medresh, so many different opinions. And outside of halacha, and I again can't redo my shiur now for my Sunday class, where we try to reach a crystallization. Look at the Rambam, Hakdama leMishneh Torah, you'll see what I'm talking about, Askim Aleim Kol Yisrael. But hashkafa, philosophy, we leave very wide. Each one is different, each one sees things differently, times are different, the trumpet is different. That's chinuch. I never, in 62 years of teaching, try to force my own thinking upon a student. And just this morning, I spoke with America, I spoke with a student, my student, 1971, 72. When I met him, he had a wild beard. He was one of Meir Kahane's bodyguards. Baruch Hashem, we still are bosom buddies until today, so many years later. And Sol HaSayin Gezunt, he's allowed his hashkafa, the way he went, his children. But Baruch Hashem, many students. Haredi world has a problem. They were never able to understand Rav Adenstein Zaltz. And you all know that in the 80s, who can forget, they suddenly found fault with his translation. They put it into, quote, Nidui Cheirim. Rav Aden had, he was very smart. He never fought back. He announced anyone wants to bring back volumes, he'll exchange them, he'll pay them, he'll give them back their money. It was terrible. And I read recently some of the reviews out of the 80s. What do you think? When you do all of Shas with Iyunim and Realia, you're not going to find a mistake? I know people who saw the Rav Sansino in Boston. And they would come back from Boston and they would say when they would get a chance, they would take a volume and flip it. And every page, the Rav had on the side corrections, emendations. Yeah. What do you think? You can translate all of Shas. You're going to find. But to say what was said in Panovich, that there's apikursis, I have gone through every word in every last volume of Shas Steinsaltz. Remember, I have a PhD, I have a doctorate from Bernard Verwel Graduate School. I know what a bicursus is. I know what scientific Jewish scholarship is. I know what Wissenschaftes Judentum is. I never, ever found a trace of something that's without. It was all absolutely within. And with his death, you saw that very sadly a few weeks ago. I don't know how many of you are integrated on the Israeli scene, but the Haredi papers, Shas is not Haredi. That's a different story. You live in Israel a few years, you'll understand that Shas is a zebra. It's a cross between the old Mizrahi and the developments of the swing to the right that we're talking about in the Monday class. But Shas is not. They mentioned his death. Hamodia Yeteid Neman. It's like he didn't exist. It was unbelievable. Then the secular papers already, there was a bit of an outcry. So the Hasidic Hamodia finally, days afterwards, mentioned Rabbi Steinsaltz. The Litvische two newspapers, until today, they haven't mentioned the word, haven't eulogized. A man that changed the course of Torah history. A man who will be remembered when you speak of Rashi, you speak the Machabe of the Shulchan Aruch, you talk of the Rambam, individuals that changed Torah history. Rabbi Steinsaltz, Ibn Yisrael, he's right up there in shining lights. But they can't handle it. That, to me, is a tragic mistake. A Machaneich, there's the Torah way, it's wide, it's broad, it's multifaceted. We have room for everyone. Ba'asher hu sham. And to me in Chinuch, this is basic. This is basic. Okay. All right. I want to end off, and I want to tell two stories about Rabatin that capture the man and capture the dream. One story is worthy of a movie. It's the miracle of modern day Israel. It's the miracle of modern day Israel. I have a student looking at me on the screen who called me Friday to tell me he came back with his wife and children and they are now citizens of the state of Israel, the ingathering of the exiles. And the story is very simple. There was a Jew who ran away from Germany, wound up in South America, came to Israel, good mapainik, didn't know an aleph from a bet, never opened a chumash in his life, spoke fluent modern Hebrew, but it doesn't mean you've learned a pasuk chumash with Rashi. An old bachelor, and then he met a Sephardic beauty, 15 years younger, related to every Baba in the world, including Baba Sali, Baba Baruch, Baba Eliezer. And he married her. And he became ambassador to, I believe it was Brazil, Argentina, South America. He had lived there, knew the language, the culture. And they had children, they had a daughter. They came back to Israel, the girl went to high school here, went to Bnei Akiva. And this Jew from Germany, totally assimilated, had a daughter, Shomeret Torah Mitzvot. On the other hand, the price we've paid here is indescribable. We just had the Yahrzeit last Tuesday, of Dr. David and Nava Applebaum. I trust everyone knows who I'm talking about. Hashem Yikom Damo. And buses were blowing up 20 years ago. God have mercy what we were going through. One of the last buses to blow up blew up a block and a half from my house, in number 19. I knew 6 different people on the bus who were killed. One person I didn't know was a lady from Russia. And she and her husband had come in Aliyah with children, a boy and a girl. And the husband became Haredi in Israel. She couldn't handle it. They divorced. Husband remarried, has a whole new large family, lives in a yeshiv. And now this boy and girl are left without parents. So the court awarded her to her aunt and uncle who lived in Katamon, awarded him and her. And my daughter, my eldest daughter, very famous lady in her own right, was made the legal guardian because someone has to watch the money the government is giving them, what they're entitled to, etc. And this boy in particular became part of our family. Shabbat, Yontif, went to Hesda, and now he's in Machon Lev. And he's getting married to this girl that he met in Bnei Akiva. Picture the sight, picture the blood in their veins, picture where they're coming from. And Rav Avinshtein says it's going to be Masada condition. And I don't know, I was told in advance, either I read the ketuvah, I had the first two, I think I had the first two brachot, fine. And my wife says, look, you're not just the guest at the wedding. You have brachot. Don't go like a slob. Put on a white shirt. I wear a white shirt, Shabbos, Yontif, not during the week. It's the difference. I have to mekayim the Rambam. Shabbos has to be different. So, your wife wants you to wear a white shirt. It's a gemilat chesed. You give in to her. What's the big deal? I always tell anyone getting married, the most important words you will learn is, yes, dear. And I have an agreement with my wife for the last 60 plus years. I make all major decisions. Should we bomb Iraq, Iran, China, Germany, those are my decisions. Anything less than that, they're her decisions. So I put on a nice white shirt. Come to the wedding, and there's the Chassan's Tish, and there's Rav Steinzel sitting up front, and wearing a bekusha, ala Chabad, fine, good. Guess the color of his shirt. Blue. And you will look at endless pictures of Rav Adin Steinsaltz. He loved blue shirts. So boy, did I have a good laugh. I wore the white shirt, to use ancient Chinese, umzist. Anyone understand a little Yiddish? I don't know how to translate it. Gentlemen listening, anyone there, native Yiddish, umzist. But blue shirt, there's Rav Adin. But I had a tremendous reward that night, because my grandsons who grew up here and they learned Gemara, and every Gemara they used was a Steinsaltz Gemara. And I still remember my grandson Asher Ackerman, who lives in Leshem today with Gabi, who works upstairs, Gabi Sackett. Their children are in Gan together. And I remember Asher, that little devil, looking at Rav Adin Steinsaltz, like I would look at the Rav, like a chassid would look at the Rebbe. And I said, boy, that's my reward for coming, to see, wow, his derech eretz for a gadol shebe gedolim. And I want to end off, so giving you a little bit of a feeling who this man was, excuse me, what he accomplished. And no one can feel what he did in Russia better than I can, for obvious reasons. You have no idea. You have no idea what. They became Talmud scholars, because they knew modern Hebrew. And look at Steinsaltz again. If you know modern Hebrew, wow, you flow. He adds to Rashi. Every word is weighed there. He what a genius. Fine. But you got to give credit to the Chabatnikim, to Reb Nachman Shmayahu. Kid comes in with long hair, jeans. Yeah, what are you doing here? Kacha nichnasim lebeit Knesset. Kacha mitlapshim. You know, you can jump on the kid. Biggest mistake in the world. Tavo. Nilameid yachad. Nigale et sodet hachayim. Dva Hashem, Zu Halacha. Wow. The Haredi world, with all due respects, by the way, part of it is opening today to this problem. If you're aware what's going on in the Haredi world, that Bagrut, with education, we don't need the ghetto anymore. We can be a little bit self-confident. We can move into the big Israeli world, and we can remain frum. It's not 40, 50, 60 years ago. So they're opening. But this is a tremendous challenge. Chinuch is for everybody. You're going to have to deal with the dull, the average, but the greatest challenge with those that are brilliant. And when you bend them like that, you wind up the Israeli Supreme Court one of the judges, his name, Meni Mazuz. You recognize the name? His first cousin is the famous Rosh Yeshiva, one of the great Slamdanim of our generation in Bnei Brak, Svadik Yeshiva, that I always cite their publications. This Mazuz, product of Chinuch Atzma'i. One time in Misrata Mishpatim, Eliakim Rubinstein had Yotzeit for his mother, and he had to make a minion, and he had nine, and Mazuz is walking by, and he says, Tavo, Titztareif, Atar Siri. And Mazuz says to him, Eliakim, Ani Klach Lohit Palalti Esrim V'chameshana, Vani Lomat Chil Palel Ayom, and he walked away. Wouldn't be counted as the tenth. And that will explain to you some of the psakim you've heard from the Beit Mishpat Elyon. I call it Tachton, and you see Mazuz's opinions. That's a result of Chinuch Haredi when you have a genius. This is a very delicate question and a tremendous challenge. Shape your trumpet accordingly. And I want to end off with one more that to me is at least a vision for the future, what we're working for, what we're heading for, what we're educating for. Achron Shel Pesach, seventh day here, eighth day in America. It's a very sad chag, and I'll tell you why. You have matzah you paid a fortune for. Hand matzah, machine matzah, shmura, mitala chumris. I don't have to tell you. And it's now 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 7 o'clock at night, that matzah becomes stale bread. Just think for a minute. Sukkos, beautiful etrog, paid $100. 7 o'clock at night, it's a stale lemon. So it bothered the Jews. And if you know the Hasidic world, Chabad, Achron Shel Pesach, they have a final suda, sudata d'meshichata. Right or wrong? Matzah, wine, speak about the future. Believe it or not, alta, kauta, old, cold, litvaken, like yours truly, how I was raised, my good Gedolei Yisrael, the Rav used to say, never sang Zmira till his grandchildren, the Tolna Einiklach, forced him to sing Zmira. And we were raised, the Vilna Gaon, knew? Have you looked into Masa Rav on the Vilna Gaon, on Achron Shel Pesach? The Vilna Gaon has Suda Shlishit, the Chabibut of Matzah. He wanted to show how much he loves Matzah that he didn't want to let go. And even though on Yontif there's no halacha of Suda Shlishit, it's not Shabbat, but the Gaon made a Suda Shlishit with Matzah. And what's beautiful here, Hasidim and Mitnagdim, Chabadnikim and Talmidei Hagra blend into one. And just think for a minute, this is Talmidim of the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe, the Baal Shulchan Aruch, the first Rebbe who started all of Chabad. And this is the Midim of the Vilna Gaon, and when the Alter Rebbe came to Vilna to see the Vilna Gaon, to show him that the Hasidim are not such sinners, the Vilna Gaon ran away, left Vilna, slammed the door in his face, wouldn't be in the same city with the Alter Rebbe, wouldn't breathe the same air, quote, end quote. And take a look, hundreds of years later, we joined together. And I can never forget in Katamon, as Katamon changed, as Katamon went through a total metamorphosis. When I came in Aliyah, Katamon run down. Poor Sfardim lived there. Already the 90s, the 2000s. Endless Anglos, endless French. The Shtibel of Katamon, which built the neighborhood. The Shtibel that was built by a YU Musmach. He's the one who developed it, Rabbi Arnold Rund, R-U-N-D. And Acharon Shel Pesach, out in the open, on the lawn, because there was no room inside the shtibel, there would be the Sudata, the Meshichata, and who would be the featured guest speaker? Reb Adin Steinsaltz. And you would see hundreds, young people, all types of kippot, sprugot, black, hats, strimels, everyone lurching forward to hear Divrei Chachma from Reb Adin Steinsaltz. And this is a beautiful image of what our future should be, what we should strive for, what the goal should be. And Reb Adin Steinsaltz, more than anyone I knew, personified this ability to unite, to inspire all facets of Torah Judaism. Yehi Zichro Baruch, and Bekorov, we should be united. Tchiyat HaMetim B'Viyat Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Mechera B'Yameinu. I want to say thank you very much to the wonderful students in front of me. And I want to say thank you very much to all those listening across the wide expanse of the world, the Jewish world, the Torah world. Chizku v'yimtzu. Thank you. We should meet again in health and happiness. Das v'danya. Rabbi Bednash, I give you back everything. I'll just take the microphone apart. Are there any questions you want to ask? Okay. Anyone?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting beautiful emails here. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I don't want to read it. It's too arrogant, but people appreciate what we just said. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, thank you. I hear the thank yous, and I just got a beautiful email, and I thank you all very, very much. Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bruchim to you.